from DynastyLeagueFootball.com and the DLF family of podcasts, this is the Super Flex Super Show. Your main source for strategy, speculation, player values, and all things Super Flex. With innovative strategies like QBX and the Super Flex Flywheel, exercises like Tinderflex, Super Six, You're Nuts, and Next Week This Week, the Super Show's Super Friends never lack the content you need to help you draft and manage your roster in the fastest-growing fantasy football format, Superflex, on the Superflex Super Show. Enjoy your DLF podcast and stay sexy and super flexy.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, trade addicts pie. Let's go.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I have a trading problem.
I'm Drew DeLuca, and I'm more of a binge trader.
Okay, so as you heard, there's just two of us here tonight. No Russ. Russ had a family issue, could not make it tonight. But I do have Drew DeLuca, great guy. I had him on Dynasty Junkies recently, and I mentioned there when I went to the expo last year, me and Drew could not like avoid each other. Just kept running into each other all over the expo, hoping to see him again this year there. But glad to have him on the podcast. And so yeah, there's not really much going on NFL wise right now. We were just talking about that before the show. Pretty much, you know, we're post Super Bowl, pre everything else. So we don't really have any news tonight. So I'm just gonna I'm just gonna mention that this is episode 252 of the Trade Addicts Podcast. It's a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and of course, a proud member of the DAP the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and we will. So Drew, why don't we get right into it, and you why don't you tell us everybody who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Sure. I'm Drew DeLuca, and I'm on Twitter at Drew Delaware. I'm a senior writer at QB List. Before that was with NFL Spin Zone, and I'm also a ranker on Fantasy Pros. So I do the season-long rankings there and also the draft rankings. So, yeah, pretty good year last year, 2021 draft rankings for top 10, and then hit the top 10 three times, I think, this year in season. So so be on the lookout for those rankings going forward.
Oh, yeah. Well, look at you, Mr. Top 10 over there. But but we'll get right into our little interview we like to do with all our new guests. So happy to have you on for the first time. Mm-hmm. How long have you been playing fantasy, Drew?
Oh, geez. Probably 25 years at least. So I started back in the 90s. So back when Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders were on teams, and Vinny Testaverde was actually a guy who won a roster once in a while.
So, Drew, you team old guy like me playing back in the 90s. Yeah. And getting scores via email, via
the USA Today, man.
Yeah.
The sports section. Yeah.
And how about
pencil and paper?
Yeah, pencil and paper. Yep. I started briefly in the 90s and then picked it back up in the 2000s. But how long have you been playing Dynasty?
I'd say probably about last 10 years or so, really started doing that. So longest running league I have is on Flea Flicker. But that's been a lot of fun. So the fantasy football guys, Kevin Moore and Lau Conquil, and some of their tried and true long time listeners as well. So It's pretty cool. Liz Loza from ESPN's in there as well. So it's a pretty good league because it's been going on for a while.
Sounds like a great group, but I would recommend you get it off of Flea Flicker. I'm not the biggest Flea Flicker fan. Okay, so of course we got to ask you about your trades. You can start with whichever you want, your best trade, your worst trade. Which one you start with?
Well, let's start with the positive. I'd say the best trade was, I'm looking at back here, 2019. I had David Johnson back when he was still something, and I was able to, was able to get good old Rex Burkhead for him, but really that wasn't the deal sealer. I ended up getting a future second and a future first. So in 2019, I got a 2021 second round pick, which I believe I used for Travis Etienne, and because I guess he had the injury or whatever. And then the 2022's first round pick ended up being the 101 Breece Hall last year.
Oh, so, wow. That's a nice move right there.
That worked out quite well. Yeah. The worst, this is embarrassing to talk about, but it was 2 years before that. I really wanted DeAndre Hopkins. So I got him and the animated corpse of LeSean McCoy, and a fourth round pick. And I gave up, Dalvin Cook, Paul Richardson, no loss there. And then a second. And then it was 2017 and the guy wanted to, he's going to need a quarterback. I'll take that, the rookie you got there. And I'm like, oh, sure, he's played in one game. Why not Patrick Mahomes?
I knew that's what was coming when you said quarterback.
Yeah.
It's so funny. So, like, I mentioned this, I think, on this podcast before, definitely somewhere. One of my best trades is one of my first league, I think the first league I started as a commish, like when I got into Dynasty through like Twitter, like Twitter leagues and people I pulled in from Twitter. The first year, but I think before we even started, after the startup, I traded Eli Manning and Jay Ajayi for second year Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, because he'd only played the one game the previous year. Nobody knew how good he was, and that's my best trade ever. But I'm the opposite side of you. But yeah, I think a lot of people probably might have some rookie year Patrick Mahomes type trades that they feel pretty good about.
Yeah, I really wasn't worried. I wasn't worried about Patrick Mahomes at the time. I had Deshaun Watson. What could possibly go wrong? So.
Exactly. Okay, and then finally, what's a guiding principle you take with you when you're doing trades?
I guess for me, it's just trying to not worry so much about. I kind of arrived at this over time, over years, is I'm trying not to worry so much about winning the trade as much as it is about making sure that I'm getting my needs met, that I'm getting either rid of assets that I don't want or need, and I'm gaining ones that I do, if that makes sense. So I'm plugging holes. I'm accruing assets, doing the things I need to do. And if in the end game of it, I'm a little behind, at least at the moment, so be it. I mean, I trust the process, trust your evaluations, because so a trade calculator might say that you're in the negative where you value a certain player much higher than most people do, and then it might work out in your favor. So that's kind of it for me. So, be fluid and make sure that you're just kind of doing right by what you think your team needs.
Yeah, that's so true. People too often worry about winning trades, and yeah, if you made your team better, don't worry about if the calculator says you won the trade or not. Yeah. The calculator can't take in the context of your team. Right. And it's funny. I have a Keith in the chat here. Was the guy I made the? He's actually watching tonight. It's hi, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. Quoting some Taylor Swift there. That he's the one who traded me Mahomes. So. Nice. And is also a patron. So, but we'll get into I mentioned at the top. There's no real major news this week. Nothing I thought was worth putting on here to talk about. So we're gonna get right into the trades and listener questions. So, Drew, we always let the guests decide. Do you want to start with trades or do you want to start with listener questions?
We'll start with the trades and we'll get to the questions after that.
Okay. I mean, actually, I'm probably going to throw one of the two questions. We only have two questions tonight. Okay. One of them kind of applies to one of the trades. So I might just throw that in there.
Sure.
When we get to it. But, so just a reminder for everybody, Trade Addicts Leagues are 12 team PPR Superflex 1.75 tight end premium. with 0.05 per return yard for all leagues. I think still except TA1, but we have no TA1 trades. But not that the return yards really matters too much for most of these. But we have a decent amount of trades this week in a bunch of the different leagues. We have like one or two from, I think, like six different leagues. So TA2 is what we'll start with, an interesting one here, Drew. Dalvin Cook and Travis Kelce for J.K. Dobbins, Michael Pittman, and the 109. Which side do you want Cook, there? How do you look at that trade?
Yeah, Cook and Kelce on one side, and was it Pittman?
Pittman, Dobbins, and the 2023 109.
The 109. Well, context is everything here too. So if I am winning now, I like the Kelce Cook side. But if I am building for the future, then I'm obviously one that other side, the 109, Pittman, and I'm sorry, the last one was
Dobbins.
Yeah. So Dobbins is a hard one for me to evaluate for, because we don't know what's going on with Lamar. We assume he's going to be there. Assuming he is there, I kind of feel like he kind of limits Dobbins a little bit in that Lamar's kind of focal point of that rushing attack. He calls his own number sometimes in the red zone. So, and then they also like Gus. They've been spreading the ball around a little bit there. So, I kind of think Dobbins is kind of valued a little high, I think, based on what we want him to be versus what he is and has been so far. It's a great question. Unless I'm winning at all, or just kind of going for broke this year, then I'd probably take that Pittman 109 and Dobbins side. With that caveat. So,
see, I'm on the other side of the Dobbins thing. For like you said, if Lamar does go, and that might not even be bad for Dobbins, which I think you kind of said, is that, you know, maybe, and the new offensive coordinator, we don't know exactly how they're going to use the running backs.
True.
Whether he might get more of a load, whether they'll pass to the running backs more. And I think if Lamar is gone, there's a chance they pass to the running backs more as well. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, not having the Lamar rushing threat can limit holes a little more. That we always know running quarterback helps the running back, but, and also the fact that he's a year removed from the ACL injury, I think helps out. We always tend to see that that first year back can be a little tougher for whoever it is that gets the, like with Saquon, for instance.
Yep.
He was much better year two after coming back from the ACL. So I'm kind of high on, I'm with the market on Dobbins, I guess. I'm pretty high on him. And I think that's why I would take that side as well. Cook, where are you at on Cook? Cook scares the hell out of me.
I think it's a great time to trade Dalvin Cook. So yeah. I'm trying to do that in the one dynasty league I'm in. I'm trying to move him. I was able to move Derrick Henry towards the end of last season when I knew that I wasn't going to win the league. I had some bad luck there towards the end. So I had, like I said, I had Breece Hall. I had a couple other guys go down. I had Cup. He had kind of rough season. It wasn't working out. So I figured this was the time to sell Henry. So I did that. And Cook is the guy that I'm hoping that I can move this off season. So,
yeah, I just, even last year, he was good, but he wasn't Dalvin Cook of years past. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what's going to happen with him this year. Kelce seems like he's just going to be great forever until he retires. So
yeah.
I get wanting to acquire Travis Kelce, but I think this is enough for, it's hard to get much for Cook, especially on his own. So mm-hmm. I think this is pretty good value for those two guys. I think I would take the Dobbins Pittman 109 side. I wouldn't even mind it mm-hmm. if I was a contending team. I get wanting the Cook and Kelce side in that case, but it's kind of a chance to reload while still having fairly productive players. So I could see it either way.
Yeah, and the 109 could be a great one too. I mean, it's a pretty solid draft, especially if in Superflex as well. You're digging even deeper there. Good receiver class, Got some good run. Obviously, Bijan.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Bijan and Gibbs will be gone, but there's a few other running backs that could end up at in that late first range because the quarterbacks will get pushed up and super flex and all that stuff. And you know, and Smith and Jigba and probably Johnston and Addison are all probably going to go before the first nine picks, in the first eight picks, too. So, so that RB3 could even be there at 109, depending on where Levis and Richardson go in the draft.
For sure, yeah. And we have a lot to figure out still with the combine, too. There's going to be somebody that, obviously, people that are that'll fall maybe too much than they should, or maybe somebody, you know, that I think you could probably get some real good value with the 109. So we're not even talking about getting a first rounder in this deal, but I think for me, that's the icing on the cake as to I think in a bubble why that's the best side.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, if that's the RB3, I mean, there's that by next year, there's a chance that guy is going to be valued, if he performs halfway decent, is going to be valued well over Dalvin Cook alone. So, and then it's like Dobbins and Pittman for Kelsey. So, I don't think you can get the 109 for Dalvin Cook right now. So, yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think Cook right now is getting to the point where David Johnson was when I traded him several years ago. So he's not far away from that precipice. So
agreed. Yeah. Okay, so this next one is me, so I'm going to let you start again, and then I'll get into what I was thinking here. But Deshaun Watson, this is TA3, Deshaun Watson for the 102 and Chig Okonkwo. So which side do you like here, and why is it mine? But I'm not going to tell you which it is until you answer.
So you had the 102 and Chig, and it's for Deshaun Watson, right?
Yes.
Well, I do like Chig, probably more than most. The 102 you're looking at probably either Stroud or Young, and you're versus Watson. So this is rough because you have to take the personal feelings aside for Watson out and recognize that he is of an elite talent. So that's what makes this one so hard. But I think if you believe in Young, if you believe in Stroud, I kind of want to know their landing spots really before I can say for certain. But you know that Watson now has a year, of experience with Amari Cooper and with that team there. I can't imagine he's going to be any worse than he was. He's got to get better. I want to say Watson. I'm having a hard time bringing myself to say it. I guess it's the fact that I like Chig. Maybe that I think I kind of feel like that Watson could end up being probably similarly valued to Stroud or Young. So maybe having a guy like Chig, who was the fastest tight end in the draft last year, and really did more than was asked of him, I think, last year in Tennessee. I'm kind of talking myself more to that side actually. So, but I think the brain is saying Watson, but I think the heart is saying.
I know it's funny watching you sort of go back and forth as you talk it out. Yeah. It sounds like you landed on the 102 side, which is the wrong side, Drew. I got Watson in this deal.
Yeah. That's what the brain says. So
But I'm actually rebuilding, but I'm sort of mid rebuild. So I'm kind of looking. I'm a big believer in Watson going forward. I get the whole moral issues. I do separate that with fantasy. You know, we all roster. Most of us roster Joe Mixon's or Tyreek Hill's or, you know, different guys. And I just kind of, you know, I look at it as I am rostering their stats. I'm not rostering the human being. Like so.
Yeah, that's true.
That's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, the other downside to Watson is that he's, I believe, 27 now. So at some point, he's going to hit a point where his legs aren't going to be as valuable as they are now, or as they presently are. So that's the one thing. I think you have another year or two at least, if not probably a good 2 years at least, before we start seeing kind of the decrease in his ability to kind of really be a factor on the ground. So whereas depending on the situation there, depending on who you get at 102, you're looking at obviously a much longer career of potentially being elite. So, but I think in dynasty, you kind of want to play for that 2 to 3 year window anyway. So I think the Watson side makes sense for sure in that case. So.
Yeah, and that's the way I was looking at it. I originally actually sent this as Watson for the 102 technically the 102 for Watson. I had the 102, thinking I'd rather have the guy I believe is going to be a good long-term starter than a maybe in Stroud or Young.
Sure.
And even without the legs, you know, he's never been like a Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson type rusher. And he did lead the league in passing yards his last full season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like he can't throw the ball too. So it's just a matter of how it's going to pan out in Cleveland. I'm a believer that last year was kind of expected. Russ and I had often talked about that in the preseason last year and during the season, that even when Watson came back, neither of us really expected him to be Deshaun Watson of you know, a couple of years ago, after being out so long, you know, new system, first time actually playing in real games in that system, all that stuff. So I still think he's like a top 8 to 10 guy. And I thought this was a decent price for that. And I do like Okonkwo a lot too. But I am in many, many, many leagues. So I have about probably 7, 8, 9 Okonkwo shares elsewhere. So if he blows up, I'll be fine. You know, I'm fine losing one and I'll have them in 8 other leagues. So, I just thought it was a decent price for Watson. I forget if we talked about this or not before, Drew, but I am a guy who generally doesn't pay up for quarterback and super flex, but I didn't think this was paying up too much. Just adding a Okonkwo to a rookie quarterback to get a guy I think can be top 8-ish, I thought was pretty good. So that's where I was with it. And it gives me Watson and actually Murray now, which is better quarterbacks than I have on most of my teams. So even in super flex. So
yeah, I think Watson's high ceiling was probably top 5 actually, at least for the short run. So I don't hate that at all in that perspective. So I will say this to the more we break this down and analyze that 102, you're looking at Stroud, you're looking at Young. So, I mean, they can move, but neither one of them is, you know, Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson. They're not going to rack up, you know, 600, 700, 800 yards on the ground, I don't think. So whereas Watson has that ability to at least give you 400 or 500, you know, pretty solidly. So I think from that perspective as well, you talk about those guys being maybes. The ceiling, or the floor, I should say, is not as high with those guys, I think, as we would like it to be.
Right. And I think the floor is pretty high with Watson, even if he's not what he used to be. Yeah.
Sure.
So we'll move on to the next one, which is from TA4. And this one was involving Russ. Jared Goff and that's our Russ, not Russ Wilson. Jared Goff and 202 for Mac Jones and a 2024 second. I'll start off with this one and then I'll throw it to you, Drew. I actually want the Jared Goff side here. I'm warming up to Jared Goff as a guy who likes to get cheap quarterbacks. I guess there is a little worry that they could take someone in the draft. But they're not, I mean, they're not picking high, but Richardson is maybe a guy that could go there or something like that because he's not expected to go top 10. But I mean, Goff has performed for them and he's still signed for a little while here. He's got a lot of weapons. He was, I won a redraft title with Jared Goff as my quarterback last year. He was putting up points all over the place and he's going to get a fully healthy Jameson Williams next year.
Amon-Ra,
of course. Swift is great out of the backfield. I guess they needed an upgraded tight end now, but they got a couple receivers and a good receiving running back. And I think Goff is still a little underrated compared to where he should be. And I don't, Russ keeps liking to point out how Bill O'Brien is there now. I don't know that does enough for me to like Mac Jones all that much. And the 202 is nothing to sneeze at here either. Like 202 in this draft, you could have a nice receiver there. You know, maybe there's probably at least 3 to 5 decent running backs, decent to very good running backs, if not more. So 202, I think, is going to be a pretty good pick in this draft. So I definitely want that side. I'm curious what your thoughts are.
I agree. I'm the same mindset, and Mac Jones to me presents as many questions as answers. I know he's younger than Goff by what, a good probably 3 or 4 years at least. But that's the only thing really that's it. I mean, there's something, some reports that came out recently out of New England about Bill Belichick being very frustrated with Mac Jones and how he carried himself. And I think part of it is the fact that he's got, you know, he's trying to fill Tom Brady's shoes.
Yeah.
I think that's probably part of it. But at the same time, you know, there were some pretty questionable decisions and things that he was kind of making. He definitely did not perform as high as we had hoped that he would this year. You don't want to be on the wrong side of Bill Belichick. So I know Bill O'Brien's coming in. That's nice, but
Belichick definitely better than Joe Judge and Matt Patricia. But
yeah, sure. I'm not a big Bill O'Brien guy for whatever that's worth. And as long as Bill Belichick's there, I don't know that, you know, Bill O'Brien's going to come in and save the day. So I agree with you. I think Goff is much, much more of a known quantity. I like the offense that he's in. He's not like he's 35 years old or anything. He's like 28.
Yeah.
So he still has plenty of useful years. His value's not tied to his legs, like we talked about. He's an efficient passer. He's definitely competent. And I agree with you on the 2-2. I mean, that's like, you're looking at first, probably, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that whoever's going out of 2-2 this year is probably equal value to a mid to late first last year. This is a pretty deep draft, and I'm pretty excited to have that 202 in Goff, if I'm able to kind of let Mac Jones be somebody else's problem.
Yeah, and as we often put on the podcast, like early second in some years, in usually good drafts like this one is expected to be. I mean, we've seen like Michael Pittman go in the early second mm-hmm. in recent drafts. T. Higgins. There's definitely guys there that can fall to the second and end up being really good, valuable starters for you. Mm-hmm. And I would expect this draft to probably, you know, you got to pick the right guy, but I would expect mm-hmm. this draft, you're going to see some second rounders that we're talking about in a year or two that are quality starter, fantasy starters for you.
Yeah. Hooker, maybe Tennessee quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's with the injury. He could be a steal as a second round pick potentially in Superflex. So might be a little high 2-2, but might be a little high for him at 2-2. But that's the point. The general point is there. So,
yeah. And yeah, Mac Jones, the other issue with him too, I think, is the weapons. And mm-hmm. they could be upgraded, but like, do we trust New England to upgrade the receiving core like ever? Like, it's just been like they've never been able to draft, it seems like, anyone as a receiving option that's any good. So,
yeah. I mean, it's nice they gave Nelson Aguilar a job and something to do. It's pretty cool, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they had Randy Moss and, they managed to get Julian Edelman years and years ago in the seventh round, but it's hard to think of anyone they've really drafted that's panned out to a significant degree.
A Deion Branch maybe for a year or two.
Yeah, that was like, 20 years ago at this point? Yeah. So, to me, that was pretty easily the Goff side, which I believe is the side Russ got, so he'll be happy to hear us talking that side up. So we'll move on to the next one, which this is mostly pretty much pick related. There's one player in here that doesn't really matter, but it's from TA5. The 102 was traded for the 104, a 24 second, and Isaiah Hodgins. So for the 104 and a 24 second. I don't think we need to really factor in Isaiah Hodgins too much there. So is the 24 second enough to move down from the 102 to the 104, Drew?
24 second, probably not for me. I mean, I'm looking at, you never know what can happen in a draft, right? So it's context is everything. Obviously Bijan is the one everybody wants. He's the one-on-one, but say the person who has the one-on-one desperately needs a quarterback. And maybe they have a thing for Stroud, or they've got a thing for so-and-so, and they're going to be bold and take their guy. And all of a sudden Bijan's sitting there at 102 and you're kicking yourself because you got cute and traded down to the 104. So, we also talk about how those two quarterbacks are kind of head and shoulders above the other prospects at the moment. So we kind of feel like we know who, you know, 101, 102, 103 is going to be. So, I don't know. I don't know that it moves the needle enough for me. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. Even me not being a big quarterback guy, I do like to grab them in rookie drafts mm-hmm. because you're basically just paying one first-round pick. And I don't think that's enough to move out. Like, you're missing out on Bijan and the two quarterbacks, most likely, unless something crazy happens in the draft. Mm-hmm. We're, like you said, we're almost certain those are the top three picks at this point. And I just think there's a lot more value in having, even if you'd rather have, say, Jahmyr Gibbs at 104 or whoever your wide receiver one is, Smith and Jigba, Addison, whoever, at 104, I just don't think a second is enough to move off the quarterback that you'll get at 102. You could draft that quarterback and probably trade for something worth more than the 104 and a 24 second to me. I just think the way other people, you know, the way people value quarterbacks in Superflex, like Stroud and Young are just going to, you know, have a ton of value. They're going to probably be top 15 quarterbacks the second they're drafted in terms of ADP. So not in terms of production, but ADP. So I would need a little more. And Isaiah Hodges isn't doing it for me. So so I'm with you on that one.
He's a nice spare part, but he's not going to be a deal breaker on that one. So yeah, I kind of think that's the right move for sure. So
yeah. So I'm gonna jump ahead to TA8. I'm gonna leave our sleeper trade of the week for last because it's a pretty interesting one. But TA8, and this does kind of, this is the one I said goes in with one of our questions. Elijah Moore for a 2025 second and a 2025 third, and the listener question that goes along with it. We all love the talent, but what is Elijah Moore worth now? Are you buying or selling? So is Elijah Moore worth a 25 second and third, or is he worth more? And I'll get to the second part of Kelly's KP Poker KP Kelly's question after we talk about the trade. But what do you think? Is that enough? Are you selling Elijah Moore for that, or do you want more?
Well, I think it's pretty fair value right now for me. You can't expect to get a first for Elijah Moore right now. And I think if I can get a second for him, I'd be okay with that. I get a third on top of it. I'm all right with moving him for a second and third. I know that it's a little long to wait, 2025. That's the thing for me. We don't know what's happening with the Jets either. So we were all so high on Elijah Moore coming into this year. And I'm trying to remember a can't miss guy who missed so badly as like Moore did this year. So I think if you believe in the talent more, and you believe that, you know, things are going to be different in New York, there are reasons for optimism for the Jets for the first time in a very long time. I can see wanting the Moore side there. But for me, part of it's knowing that I generally try to have some solid receivers and knowing that I would probably be able to have more expendable, but I kind of like the idea of being able to get some picks. I think part of it for me is how, you know, not knowing how high the second and how high the third are. That's the problem for me, because it's so far out. You don't have any really read on, you know, is this going to be a mid second? Is this going to be a late second? Is it going to be an early second? So that's the only downside for me in that whole equation. So, I mean, in a bubble, I probably like the second or the third for more. But again, it's just a long time to wait.
That's where I'm at with it is the time to wait. 25 seconds and thirds are just so far out to me. I know we have them available on MFL now at this point, because of the rollover, but you're talking three drafts from now. Mm-hmm. And I get Elijah Moore is kind of a total enigma, if I can speak words, a total enigma at this point, because he looked so good that rookie year, but now Garrett Wilson is there. He has such an awful quarterback last year. As you said, we don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be, but it almost has to be an improvement over what he had previously. I don't expect Elijah Moore to be a star, but I think he could be a wide receiver 2-3 type, like a low end 2, high end 3, if the right quarterback ends up there. So I think I'd want a little more than a 25 second and third, just because it's 25. Like if you even said 24 second and third, I could maybe be talked into it. Yeah. But 2025 is a little too long to wait for me. And in terms of Kelly's question, are you buying or selling? I mean, at this price, I would be buying. I if anybody has a 25 second and, or Elijah Moore and they want to send me for my 25 second and third, I'll probably pay that. So
okay.
I'm in a bunch of leagues. So if you're listening, you can go ahead and send it over. I'll probably pay it. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's crazy. I just, it's what you said. Waiting three drafts is just a little much for me.
Yeah, and I'll also throw into what you just a name you just said with Garrett Wilson. He's that dude, and for me, he's going to be the alpha in New York. And I think he's relegating Elijah Moore into kind of a bit role. And with that in mind, for me, I'm okay with getting a second and third, even though that's the thing. It's just, do I want to wait that long? That's right. The bottom line. So yeah.
And the second part of Kelly's question, and I love that he said this because Russ throws out the tweet every week for listener questions, and he always asks a random question. So I threw a random question in there. What is your favorite 80s movie? And Kelly said, why is The Breakfast Club the best 80s movie? And I love The Breakfast Club. I've seen The Breakfast Club probably at least 50 times. Can quote it word for word, every curse word in there. Yeah, you a Breakfast Club fan, Drew?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a great movie. It's a great flick, probably. It is a quintessential 80s movie.
Yes. It's so 80s,
you can't go wrong
too,
with it.
Yeah,
it is. It's kind of timeless in a way, too. As much as it's representative of the 80s, you know, the kind of message is kind of timeless with that, too.
And I think that was a John Hughes movie, too, wasn't it?
So. Yeah. I think so. Yeah,
I think so. I'm not positive, but I think it was. And John Hughes is kind of quintessentially 80s to me too. So he was into the 90s too, but then he was still producing good stuff. But there's a lot of good 80s movies by John Hughes. Yeah. Okay, so the next one, also from TA8, Malik Willis, Brian Robinson, 205 for a 2025 first. So we're getting the 25 picks again.
There we go.
25 third and a 25 fourth. This was a weird one to me. For me personally, I'll start off with this one. I would rather have the 25 first side. It's close to me because the 205 is not nothing, but I just don't believe Malik Willis is ever really going to be a thing at this point. He was questionable just in terms of his ability to be a long-term starter coming out. Mm-hmm. And with his passing ability, we all knew his legs would make him a great fantasy option. But in terms of his passing ability, I don't believe a lot in Brian Robinson like some people do. I mean, he's nice when he gets some touchdowns, but he's not really catching many passes. I still think, even if the Commanders don't, I still think Gibson is the better back there. So I think he's going to be involved. I think McKissick is signed for one more year, too, after they re-signed him last year. I guess they might be able to. They probably can cut him easily if they want to.
But probably.
If he's there, that takes away from him as well. So I don't really like any of the pieces on that side. And I do tend to devalue picks, like I said, in the last trade that are that far out, even first. But I'm still not giving a first for anything in that. Like, even all those pieces together, I don't want to give a first, even if it is in 2025. What about you?
I agree completely. I mean, I could see Robinson playing a role now that the enemy's in Washington. That's the only real news I can think of that meant anything is that, you know, Commanders have Eric Bieniemy now. And I could see him, you know, using Robinson kind of like a Pacheco kind of a role and Gibson more of like a Jerick McKinnon kind of a role. But the problem is that there's no Patrick Mahomes to make that whole legend go. So I agree with you. I think Robinson's upside is definitely lower than what the perception is. I think his ceiling is lower than what the perception is. And I think the floor is lower than what the perception is. So I'm with you 100%. I kind of rather have the first.
Okay, yeah, we pretty much agree on that one for the same reasons. So we'll move on to TA10, where the next trade we have is Gabriel Davis. I think this was also Russ. Gabriel Davis for 208 and a 24 second. So why don't you Gabe Davis is kind of an interesting figure in fantasy. So why don't you kind of give your opinion on where you're at with Gabe Davis and then your opinion on this trade?
Well, I think Gabe Davis, we talked a little bit about Elijah Moore a minute ago about how Moore was kind of that guy he's kind of now that bit guy that, you know, Garrett Wilson was the stud. He's the alpha and Moore's kind of like a role guy. So I think in the same regard, I think that Diggs is obviously the man in Buffalo, and we really wanted Gabe Davis to be a thing. Most of us did, I think, last year. And he just kind of showed us that he really wasn't, you know, the alpha or even the 1A that we wanted him to be. I think Gabe's going to give you spike games. I think it's nice, but we talked before about how there's a lot of value in seconds. And now there's a lot of guys that slip into the second that shouldn't. And now you got two shots at finding a guy that could be that dude. And you're giving up a guy who I don't think, like we talk about, you know, value versus perceived value. I think Davis's perceived value still in the eyes of many is a little higher than it should be. Just because he's tied to Josh Allen and that offense, which is understandable. But for me, probably would rather have those 2 seconds. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. So not sure what your take is on that, but, you know, it is what, I mean, I could see, you know, saying, hey, Gabe's only 23 years old, you know, I can see the side that says maybe stick with Gabe, but I like I said, I'd rather just take the shots with the 2 seconds, just because we just talked about, you know, you get either one could be that dude, Gabe's not what we wanted him to be. I think going into this year, he's going to give you the spike weeks, so he's assuming that one of those seconds ends up being a high second or early second. I think that's the move for me.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think some people would think this is way too low for Gabe Davis. Mm-hmm. But I think if he was going to be a thing, we would have seen it by now. I know he has mm-hmm. a spike because of spike weeks, like you said. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see it. I think he's going to be kind of that guy that every 6 games goes off for like 25 points for you. Mm-hmm. And then he's just a nothing for like 3 of the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, and then you have this influx of young wide receivers that keeps coming in. We had him this past year. We've had Garrett Wilson. We've got a bunch of other ones that came in there. Next, this coming year, we've got JSN and Addison and a bunch of others that are coming in. To me, that's just going to push Davis further and further down the list. So.
Yep, I'm right there with you. Okay, so that means now it is time for our sleeper trade of the week.
Sleeper trade of the week. Sleeper trade of the week. We're gonna talk about a trade addict's trade, and it's sponsored by the Sleeper app.
Unfortunately, people don't get the Russ dance this week because Russ isn't here if they're watching. But our sleeper trade of the week is Patrick Mahomes. This is from TA6. Patrick Mahomes traded.
I'm just having a hard time getting ahead. Patrick Mahomes is killing us with the Super Bowl, and now he's just all over the trades today.
Yeah. Yeah. The crazy thing about the Super Bowl, getting off track for a second, is Mahomes wasn't even that good. I mean, he wasn't bad, but he it's not like he did these wild things to kind of beat the Eagles. To me, that was more Andy Reid than Patrick Mahomes. They were just guys wide open all over the place.
Yeah, and thank you, Jonathan Gannon, for the lack of adjustments.
Yes.
No sacks in 60 minutes, and then just leaving 2 wide open players just to score touchdowns, waltz into the end zone untouched.
I heard on the I think it was on the Footballers after the Super Bowl. It's basically like Madden, where you just, okay, that play worked. Let's flip it and see if it works again.
Right. Yeah, it was so frustrating. So a lot of the Cobra of defeat going on in the second half there with the disbelief of just that they're just walking in untouched. I couldn't believe it. So
anyway, okay, back to the trade. enough of us whiny Eagles fans. But Patrick Mahomes for Kyler Murray, DK Metcalf, and again the 109 actually comes up again. So I still am not sure what I think of this, so I'm gonna let you go first again, Drew.
Wow. I know we're cracking on Mahomes, but he just did some pretty amazing things on a bum wheel. And he did make that, you know, he made that pretty impressive run, you know, down the stretch. They really kind of sealed the deal and put him in field goal range. To me, it's the best player in a deal situation for me. I like getting Mahomes. Metcalf obviously is a stud. Is Geno for real? Was that a mirage? We don't know. I kind of in when in doubt, for me, I'll take the best player in the deal, probably the Mahomes. So,
yeah, I think I'm with you in the way I generally play. I probably wouldn't send Kyler, DK, and the 109 for Mahomes. Yeah. But if I have Mahomes, mm-hmm. I think I need more than this, especially Kyler's value is kind of at an all-time low.
True.
DK's value may be at an all-time low, at least since it's like after his rookie year. Yep. And yeah, the 109 is a nice piece. I get it. I mean, I don't think this is a bad deal. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to give away a Mahomes in Superflex. It's just, you have to get bowled over. I don't know if this bowls me over enough.
That's fair. And I think it's a pretty fair trade in concept, because like you said, you're buying two players low, you're getting a first round pick. Both, you can make an argument that both Murray and Metcalf, you know, in, if they hit, are first round worthy players themselves easily. And so you're basically, you know, but again, to me, it's the best player in the deal kind of a thing. And Patrick Mahomes is probably the new face of the NFL now that Tom Brady's retired. Yeah. And you're getting a chance to get him for a quarterback with question marks, who has a head coach that I personally don't believe in with, you know, in an offense that we don't know what's happening with it. I love DK as a player. We don't know what that offense is going to look like. You know, how long is Pete Carroll going to be there? What's that offense going to look like in 2 years? We don't know. And then 109 might be something. It might not be. Give me the sure thing. Give me the best player in the deal. Give me the new GOAT.
So. Yeah, and I'm a Kyler guy too. I've been talking about him ever since the season ended. That even though I don't like to pay up for quarterbacks, I like getting undervalued quarterbacks, and I think he is undervalued now. But I mean, there definitely are question marks there, and you may not have him for a half a season. I mean, I did not look at the two teams. I assume I believe the team that got the package is kind of. Was a somewhat of a contender last year, but is kind of looking to reload because J. Mike's team is stacked in that league, and I think he's just trying to get some more pieces here. And I like Kyler, but yeah, I just think you need more. So I would take the Mahomes side in this deal, but again, I'm still not sure I would actually send it if I had all three of those pieces. The other thing too is, I mean, we mentioned you're kind of buying Murray and Metcalf low, but if I'm selling Mahomes, I don't want to be buying guys low. I want to get a stud that I know is good now, at least, rather than buying two guys low that I think are going to increase in value.
Yeah. So if that pick was higher, if that 109 was like a 102 or a 103, or then I think I'd be much more tempted to take that side. But even so, I think you're right. And with Murray's 2 years younger. That's part of the appeal, I think, of this trade on the surface. He's younger than Mahomes, but at the same time, he's also coming off of a major injury, and he's probably not going to be the same player next year. He's certainly not going to be able to as mobile as we'd like him to be his first year back from that major knee injury. So that kind of erases one of those 2 years, you know, in a way. So the more and more we talk about this, the more and more to me, clearly the answer is Mahomes.
So. Yeah. I would have to go Mahomes too. But so that's your sleeper trade of the week, brought to you by Sleeper Fantasy, the fastest growing fantasy football platform in the world. Join a new dynasty league or migrate yours to their platform and enjoy how easy they make it to manage all your leagues in one place. Join millions of players today on Sleeper, the number one fantasy football platform. Download the app today to get started. And we're down to our last listener questions. Russ, when he sees this, is going to kill me because we're probably going to finish this pod in under an hour. I can't remember the last Trade Addicts pod that went under an hour, but I guess that's what happens when you only have two people, and Russ isn't one of them, I guess. So
yeah, it's also off season too.
Yes, that's true. So. If we had some news We probably could have at least pushed it over an hour, but there was literally like no news that I could find that was worth talking
about. Yeah. The enemy is the only thing that really comes to mind, is something that's noteworthy. You kind of feel for him in that situation. I kind of feel like he made, people call it a lateral move, but you're going from having Patrick Mahomes and probably arguably the, to what do they have? Sam Howell and Taylor Heineke, and who knows, maybe they take a quarterback, maybe they don't. And it's just a mess. And,
but I think the whole thing is he feels he needs to get out of under Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes' shadow if he's ever going to have a chance at getting a head coaching job, because it's basically people are like, well, you're not that great of an offensive coordinator. You have Andy Reid calling plays and Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball. Yeah. So, you know, what are you doing there? So I think that's why he did it. But yeah, if he can make something of the Washington offense, he's definitely getting a head coaching job. So
for sure. Well, I think part of it also is we don't know if Ron Rivera is going to be there for the entire year next year either. If they fall flat, you know, that he could go from offensive coordinator to interim head coach in a heartbeat. So.
And I will guarantee if Sam Howell is the starting quarterback next year, they will fall flat.
Yeah,
I'm not a big Howell guy. But our last question is from some guy at Dynasty Outhouse. Is Danny Dimes the new Kirk Cousins? And then he gets into the 80s question. He says, too many good movies were made in the 80s. But if we're talking about, quote, 80s movies as a genre, I think I have to go with Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Princess Bride, Roger Rabbit, and Batman were all made in the 80s, but aren't really 80s movies. I get what he's saying, but Princess Bride was one of the first, and me and Russ have talked about this before. It's one of, I think, both of our favorite movies of all time. Oh, Princess Bride guy?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, it's no brainer. Princess Bride is, I don't know why it's not an 80s movie. I know that there's the throwback with the scene and everything else, but all the cuts with with Fred Savage, the young Fred Savage, playing all the 80s video games.
Yeah, that's true.
To me, it lines up perfectly as an 80s movie. I think it definitely counts. So
I get it, though, because a lot of it's sort of like a timeless storybook thing. And I think what Russ is saying, Ferris Bueller is sort of like an 80s time. I love Ferris Bueller, Day Off, and Breakfast Club would have been two of the handful of answers I would have had for this question.
Oh, yeah.
Ferris Bueller is another movie I could probably quote like every line as I watch it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ghostbusters was a guilty pleasure as a kid.
Ghostbusters is a great one.
That was one. I mean, for me, Empire Strikes Back, obviously, because that's set in the 80s, not really typically an 80s movie. And of course, the Raiders of the Lost Ark. E.T. is positive. You can throw that out there. That's a nice 80s movie.
I think Russ is looking at a little more stuff that, you know, is evocative of the 80s, where, like you said, Empire Strikes Back is
coming
to not
America?
80s. Yeah.
What about
Coming to America? I like that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm trying to think what else. Maybe Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's. I haven't thought about that one. That was late 80s, I guess.
I think
it was early 90s. Okay.
Maybe it was. Maybe for some reason I stick it in my late 80s, but I could maybe
we could. Maybe Weekend at Bernie's 2 was the 90s.
Maybe, yeah.
Andrew McCarthy, that's quintessentially 80s right there. From Weekend at Bernie's.
Maybe Beverly Hills Cop. Right?
Oh, that would definitely be an 80s movie. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was thinking, you know, it's not quite in the same sort of genre that we're talking about, because a lot of these are comedies, but Top Gun would definitely be like an 80s movie to me. Yeah, that's definitely evokes the 80s. Yeah.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. We'll finish up with the football question now. Is Danny Dimes the new Kirk Cousins? He might be mentioning this because Kirk Cousins is my quintessential quarterback that I've been talking about for years and years in terms of the guy I like to get, because he's eternally undervalued and he finishes as a QB1 literally almost every year. If you look back at scoring, like DLF has a tool where they show where a guy finishes, and he's literally somewhere in the top 12, I think, every year except one in his career. Mm-hmm. So, I'm guessing that's what Russ is referring to here, that maybe is he the new Kirk Cousins? He's going to be a guy that can finish his low-end QB1, and no one's ever going to like him because he doesn't have the ceiling of a Hurts or Murray or a Jackson or whatever. So
not yet. That's the thing. I mean, he'll Wandale Robinson be back next year. You know, I really like him a lot. I like Bellinger. I think he's just kind of a, people are sleeping on him as a tight end. He showed a lot as a rookie, I think. I think he could be decent. We laugh at Hodgins, but he played pretty well. So, and he did all that with absolutely nothing at the wide receiver position last year.
Yeah, they're going to draft somebody. I'm probably in the first round, I'm guessing.
Yeah. It's too bad. It's a shame they didn't get Devonta Smith, but you know, somebody had to jump in front of the table.
Yeah. I was doing a live, draft show when that happened with Bobby Koch, who's a Giants fan. And, that was fun when the Eagles jumped ahead of him. and it's worked out really well. But I do think I need to see it another year before I can crown him the new Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. He definitely, you know, the rushing ability definitely gives him that ability to kind of live in that low end QB one range. If he can continue holding a job. I mean, we have to see that too. There was definitely question marks coming into this year whether he would be a starter beyond this year, and they made the playoffs, and he performed fairly well. So he's definitely going to be a starter for next year, and probably for the next couple, because I'm guessing the Giants are going to re-sign him. I think there's been some talk about that already, that they'll probably franchise him if they have to, but they're looking to re-sign him, I think, to some kind of reasonable multi-year deal.
Yeah, so, I think from the sounds of it, they're nowhere close, because I think was it Jones went about $45 million a year, I think. Which is kind of what I think more along the lines of what Jalen Hurts might get. He might be getting like $40 million plus.
Yes,
we'll see. But I can't see it with Daniel Jones that kind of money yet. So I definitely can see them franchising him. Hey, show it to us one more year. I mean, which ironically, that's what Washington did with Kirk Cousins. So they franchised him, you know,
twice,
so,
yeah. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a fair question. And, I think you make a great point about Jones with his rushing ability. That's something Kirk Cousins never had.
Right.
So I think he's got he definitely has a higher floor for sure. And I think the ceiling can only go up from here. So,
yeah. And I do think Kirk Cousins is a better passer than Danny is, even though everyone hates Kirk Cousins. But I think they can be similar fantasy wise. If Jones can work this into where he's starting, he's a guaranteed starter every year, the way Cousins is. I mean, Cousins is now into his 30s and has been a starter forever.
Yeah.
If Danny Dimes gets to that point, I think he could be that guy. 'Cause I don't think he's ever, just the way, you know, we're 4 years into his career and he's not been any kind of superstar or anything. So even if he continues to, because of his rushing ability, kind of be in that QB 10 to 15 range going forward, I don't think anyone's still going to really ever want to pay much for him. So he could be that kind of guy that people like who play quarterback like me in Superflex could get for a very, very reasonable price and get the production they need from that spot while they're upgrading other positions.
Yeah, he's a great target. I mean, he had 708 rushing yards, seven touchdowns on the ground. I mean,
and that's like you were saying about we were saying about Hurts. I mean, that's not that far off from Hurts's numbers. I think Hurts is like 780 and 10 or something like that.
Yeah, 763 and 13 he had.
He had more rushing touchdowns than I thought this year. But
So Allen had seven rushing touchdowns, 762 yards. Here's the cool thing. The thing about Jones that's interesting to me, he only had 15 touchdowns. I mean, and a lot of that was they were trying to run Saquon as much as they could, as long as they could.
And that they had no receivers.
And they had no receivers, exactly. But he only threw five interceptions. That's the thing. The entire season, he threw five picks. So he had 16 games.
He didn't play the last game because they benched all the starters. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, if you look at who played, you know, who played that many games, you know, Allen had 14 picks. Hurts had six. So he had a great season, obviously. Fields had 11, you know, Geno Smith had 11. Mahomes had 12. I mean, we're not going to compare him.
Right, you're right.
But do you get the idea though?
That's a really good number. Yeah.
He did a really good job of protecting the football. So that's, I mean, and you think with a lot of stone handed receivers, you know, that would lend itself to some more like oops interceptions, but he definitely played very, very well. I think better than most of us want to admit. So I think he's a fantastic target. I think you're right.
Okay, and that's the end of our show sheet. So that's the end of our show. I will say one more thing. I don't even know if you are familiar with it, but Some Kind of Wonderful, underrated 80s movie, by the way. But anyway, that is the end of our show. I want to thank Drew again for coming on. Drew, I want you to just remind everyone your Twitter handle and where they can find all your stuff again, like we talked about at the beginning.
Sure. At Drew Delaware on Twitter and writing it for QB List. So I'll have some articles coming up here in the coming days and pretty soon, actually, some Q&As. I was fortunate enough to go out to Arizona and cover the Super Bowl, and I was able to get in on some press conferences there and interview Dallas Goedert. So that's going to be coming up in the next week or so. I have one with Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders, Brandon Graham, Jason Kelce, and a few others, CJ Gardner-Johnson. So there'll be some QA articles and things along of that nature. A little bit of a branch off from my typical work, which is more covering sit-start stuff game breakdowns primarily for the Eagles, but for other teams as well. So also do the rankings on Fantasy Pros. So you can check me out there. But appreciate you having me on, Rock. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it definitely was. Look forward to talking to you again at some point. But with that, we will finish up with just reminding you, I'm at Dynasty FF Addicts on Twitter. You can find Russ, of course, at Dynasty Outhouse. The pod's at Trade Addicts Pod. If you want to watch the show while we record it and see Drew's lovely face here or whoever the guest is that week, you can subscribe to the Patreon at Trade Addicts, patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. There's different tiers. You can get into the Cool Kids Club. There's a lot of great people in there. It's our Discord chat. And you can also, like I said, watch the show. And I think, FF Pod shirts, that's StoreEnvy.com. I have to remind everybody of that. SFB12 stuff, I believe, is still in there. I'm sure the SFB13 stuff will be coming in just a few short months. There's also a whole bunch of other kind of podcasts, all the DAP Network stuff, Trade Addicts merch, Dynasty Junkies, Get Real with Casey Kasem, another great pod, Fantasy Timeline, who hopefully will be coming back soon. I know they're taking a little break now. And I'm pretty sure Russ still has stuff from other pods in there. I think some that don't even exist maybe anymore. I know he just mentioned that recently a Dynasty Diagnostic just recently kind of left the store, and they I don't think they've recorded an episode for like 2 years. So, but yeah, so a lot of great stuff there. Make sure you're following the DAP Network. Make sure to leave a rating and review on the pod. And I think that's everything I need to say at the end of the show here. So thanks again, Drew. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLS family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Addicts and at Dynasty FF Addicts. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addicts Podcast. Poopy fans, that is the best. See ya.